Hello and welcome to Healing From Within, an internet radio show designed to elevate our thoughts and actions to higher levels of perception and a clearer understanding of our human and energetic lives for true healing. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, a book offering a view of the enormous possibilities for connecting to our inner life force, creating unity on a multidimensional level. Today, I welcome the author and co-author of Choice Point, the book, the movie, and movement written by Harry Massey and David Hamilton. Their film and book share fabulous insights and ideas from world leaders, including Sir Richard Branson, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, John Paul DeHoria, Jack Canfield, Greg Braden, Barbara Marx Hubbard, and a host of others, all change makers with scientific and social experience who point the way towards personal and global transformation. Hello, Harry in California and David in England.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Hi there, great to be here.
And great to hear you. Though we are in different time zones, I hope it will become clear to our listeners that minds and hearts that resonate with hope and love can connect through time and space to achieve universal goals. Let me share a little of your professional background. Harry Massey, yes, Harry Massey works on innovative changing technology and co-founded NES Health Limited, a company dedicated to furthering a 21st century system of holistic healing based on integrating physics and biology. His passion for changing the face of healthcare arose from his own health challenge, and his DVD, The Living Matrix, A New Science of Healing, focuses on a new kind of medicine based on energy and information fields. David Hamilton's training in biology and his work in the pharmaceutical industry has been the precursor for a clearer understanding of the mind-body connection and authoring numerous books, including How Your Mind Can Change Your Body. Harry and David, you know, so many of us are painfully aware that at this moment in history, leaders in the field of health and education, spirituality, and visionaries for the future are being faced with some of the biggest choice points or new directions in our lives. As nature is giving us a wake-up call, economics are struggling, and for many, the future looks uncertain. Yet I believe, and as you do, these many challenging situations may be part of the unfolding and evolution necessary for the new thinking and for the opportunities to awaken to extraordinary choices for extraordinary outcomes. Harry, what inspired you to start the Choice Point movement and to create the Choice Point movie?
It really comes from the fact that crises often precede transformation and innovation, which is a quote from Barbara Hubbard in the film. And that's really exactly what happened to me. And 12 years ago, I was bedridden with a debilitating case of chronic fatigue syndrome that left me broke and unable to take care of myself. And after years of going from one practitioner to another, I came to my own choice point, if you like, and I had this idea of creating a home wellness system so anyone could self-diagnose and get better from home, and I had no idea how I'd do this, but had absolutely nothing to lose by trying. And from that seed, I managed to build a successful health business that helped thousands of people since then. And I thought if I could do that, then we could help other people to align their purpose so that they could help themselves and go on to solve some of the other world problems along the way.
Harry, maybe in your time when you were ill, you spent a lot of time relaxing and being in a state of quiet or rest, and perhaps you downloaded some inspiration from spirit and some thoughts that would help you go on with this creative work you're doing. Is that possible?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a period of quiet and rest. I mean, in that time, I was always sort of searching for cures and, you know, trying out new things to get me better. And really, where that I think where that idea came from, I'd spent 6 years. I'd spent 6 years lying in bed and trying all these other, you know, horrible things. I'd been on like IV drips for years and needles prodded in every test under the sun. And I just thought, one night I just sort of thought, well, yeah, this is just,
you've had it.
Really, it's not really the way forward. And I thought, well, instead of trying to get myself better, why don't I reverse that and see how it'd be to try and get someone else better. You know, rather than relying on other sources of information and doctors and practitioners, I thought, well, why don't I try and become the, try and get an understanding of what's going on and make something that would help other people.
I think you might have made a choice to align with a purpose bigger than yourself at that moment, than any selfish desire for yourself personally to get healthy, and maybe you became interested in helping others to get healthy. You know, I interviewed Dr. Eric Pearl, and he wrote a book, The Reconnection, and he states, heal others and heal yourself. And perhaps that is one of the approaches to Choice Point and to becoming a conscientious citizen who works in conjunction with the purpose of others more than only ourselves. I think that's what it feels like to me when I hear you talk. So let's go on. David, please tell us about Harry and how you came to work together. Are you both from England?
I'm originally from Scotland, actually. I live in England now. I live in a town called Windsor, actually, that's about... It's where the Queen lives. I live about one kilometer from the Queen, from the castle. And she's not yet popped in for tea. I feel so offended. But I'm Scottish by background, and I got involved in this project because Harry had read one of my books, one of my earlier books, which was called Destiny versus Free Will, and figured that it would be good if I was one of the people interviewed for the film. And you know, some of my answers were very, very much in resonance with Harry's own understanding of things. So he asked if we could do the book together because our ideas were quite similar and our explanations for how things worked were also very, very similar.
So I guess it was a little bit destiny that you were brought together with similar concepts and values to help bring this world concept out. I think my book is Life is No Coincidence, and I don't believe anyone we're meeting in our life is random. I think we're all being brought together because we're all one, we're all part of the same energy, and we're amused by the whole unfolding of life when we come to understand this concept. So, Harry, what is the Choice Point movement?
What Choice Point Movement is it helps to empower the individual to so that they can go on to help global solutions happen, and it does that in three ways. It provides the wisdom to understand your world, and does that in the form of obviously like the movie and courses and books, and it also gives you the tools to align your purpose by making self-growth fun, and it provides an exchange of ideas to make change happen within our social network. And in another way of looking at it is if you can imagine the world is a jigsaw puzzle that's composed of all of us individually, if we can help people be the best puzzle piece they can be and then help those pieces connect to each other effectively, then we'll be able to bring forward the solutions the world so desperately needs.
I agree. And I liked in the book reading that the Choice Point movement are windows of opportunity where people have the choice to do something different and at the same time be supported rather than fight against the patterns unfolding in nature. Because when we recognize patterns and we align with them, we can be helped and move forward, and we can make a difference in the world because life has many patterns, and many people have not become aware yet, and they keep repeating many of the same I don't want to say mistakes, but they follow the same pattern without seeing very much change and without being happy with the response. And they have not realized, many people yet, that they have to make a significant change within themselves before change can happen around them. Now, David, what was it like for you putting this book and the collective viewpoints from so many leaders in the field of transformation, healing, and science all together in one conglomerate?
It was both a challenge and extremely enlightening, because it's amazing when you have about, 10 inches thick of printouts from interview transcripts, because Harry had interviewed, all these people. You're talking thousands of hours of interview material and pages. And getting to read through all of it was extraordinary, because you're getting to see what some of these people really think. You know, some of the questions were really personal, really deep. You know, how did you really change yourself, kind of thing, and how did you manage to then change the world? So I got, it was almost like an insight into the way all these people's minds work. So it was almost like getting it was like having these people on paper right in front of you, the real thought patterns. So pulling something together was very enlightening in one respect, because you find many of them are saying the same thing. And I think this is where Harry's structure from the film and the book, the courses came from, was many of them were, they seemed to, it was almost like this intuitive knowledge that this is really a formula that gets you through life, and also for changing the self and changing the world, because the same kind of answers kept popping up time and time again. So after, reading through all the transcripts a few times, it was quite clear that, everyone had their own twist on the same thing, but the same message was coming through. So it was very enlightening for that, because I had several, aha moments, even though I've written 7 of my own books separately from this. I had these major aha moments when thinking, wow, I hadn't really thought of it that way. So I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like David, this radio show is a gift to me, because everyone I speak to, I learn from. We share something together. And yes, we find out we are on the same track or path or canoe ride in the water, and we are just bringing in our individual experiences and sharing our journey together. And that's a great gift for us, to find each other throughout the world with the same input. And I think we're being guided by, at this point, a higher force to create what is necessary in this world at the time. Now, Harry, you met and recruited so many change leaders to commit to being part of this modern-day movement. Can you mention a few of the people in your movie and something about them?
Absolutely. One's Richard Branson, then Desmond Tutu, Jack Canfield. There's a David Hamilton. He was a bit of an odd one. And then Barbara Marks. But also on the other extreme, there was a very high level banker who's the CEO of the Global Futures and Options business in London, and the opposite end of the spectrum, a crack addict, robber who totally overcame his addictions and got out of jail and became a healer. But would you like me to give a story of some of them then?
Well, I'm very interested that you just mentioned someone who had a great addiction and came through that trauma, just like you came through your illness, and found the way to make something wonderful happen. Because I think the most challenging events in our lives do that for us. They give us the opportunity to view ourselves and know ourselves and love ourselves. And if you don't know who you are, how can you possibly know what's going on with anyone else? Or how can you find love? So I think we're headed towards that with all the people probably that you met. And I was very interested in the writer and futurist Barbara Marks Hubbard. Can you tell us something about her?
She's absolutely remarkable. I mean, she in her, I think when she was 18, I wish I could remember the name of the president. I think it was not Lincoln. Anyway, she met the, no, it was Eisenhower. She met President Eisenhower.
Oh, wow.
When she was 18, and she asked him a sort of a really key question that drove the rest of her life, which was, you know, what on earth is the good in all of this, technology? You know, what on earth is the, you know, what is the point of all this power, and all this progress? Because you know, the president, I think, was showing off about, I guess, like nuclear missiles and this and that, and there's the space race and all that going on. His answer, he said, well, I don't know. He didn't actually know the answer. And so she said, well, I think we better go and find out. And she really dedicated the rest of her life to sort of asking these key questions about our future evolution and where we should.
Yeah, she's talked about our global set of crises: overpopulation, pollution, climate change, global warming, and all these together could lead to the collapse of our civilization. But she's not going into denial. You know how many people are doing that,
Do you want to know something else that's a bit fascinating about Barbara? I mean,
yes.
She's going to be 82 this year on exactly the 22nd of December 2012, and see, the 21st of December 2012 is the end of the Mayan calendar, and the 22nd is the first day of the new era. And she's also been heavily behind another related movement about the new birth of our new evolution. But you know, when you're talking about I guess patterns are all interconnected. I mean, she was born with this great life purpose in the beginning, and she didn't know anything about the Mayan stuff or even cared about it whatsoever until someone pointed it out to her only two years ago. Like, she didn't know her birthday was this incredibly significant.
For a new age of enlightenment. And we've all been born and gone through our situations to be exactly where we are today in this choice point for becoming the pieces that fit together to make a new world of enlightenment and information and love and passion for being grateful for who we are, where we are, and having this gift of life. And you know who else I like very much in your book? I like them all, but we can't talk about all of them. But Tony Benn, he said something very beautiful. He believes that there are two flames burning in every human heart in every period of history. One is a flame of anger against injustice, and the other is the flame of hope that you can build a better world. Now, he's a former politician and anti-war campaigner. Now, we just recently had a choice point here in the New York northern east part of the United States. We had a hurricane that devastated billions of dollars of damage and loss of life, and we just had a shooting in a school, an elementary school in Connecticut. Now, one is just before December 21st, which is the end of this cycle, and the other one was just before Thanksgiving. And this is not random, and these are what you talk about cycles and change and nature offering us the ability to recognize the trends and patterns so we can create the change. Now, the change that needs to happen are on many levels. We need to take care of the mentally ill. We need to take care of gun control. We need to foster more love and less greed and less use of money for issues that are not that important any longer. And would you make a comment on that as how you see that as maybe being a choice point at this moment in time?
I mean absolutely. I think you can see all these trends going on absolutely everywhere. And with overpopulation and also the overusing of resources and then the economic trends, and you know, I think of how we're using energy, and you know, I think what's also quite fascinating is I think there's some trends coming that perhaps aren't even, you know, aren't even on our, even in most people's horizon, which I'd call really the birth of the quantum age, because we're just on this cusp where, you know, I think like both the physics and technological applications, you know, now showing that you can transfer information and an energy instantaneously at a distance, which is going to totally transform computing, telecommunications, how healthcare is done. It will also transform the legal systems. You'll also be able to know the truth instantaneously as well. And I think there's just these massive and it's really interesting how like the internet and technology is happening at the same time as I think our spiritual evolution needs to be able to handle these other technological changes coming through. So yeah, it's an amazing time for sure.
And it's like this. How is change possible? Well, I think we know change is possible when we begin to realize our inner state of being, right? Our inner wisdom being maybe love-directed, and that power of love can infuse our lives for being supportive of others. And I think Bill Drayton in your book said that the power of love has its roots in empathy. So let's talk about empathy. And let's get an idea for how these economic and natural events and cycles, like, for example, the El Nino, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have war, but it does create certain conditions, as in the past, such as poor harvests and hotter temperatures. And those kind of conditions may increase the likelihood of war. But Greg Braden comes into this equation right now. He talks about the opportunity or choice point. And what does he say about these conditions that are happening now, natural, economic, and how we're going to use that to our benefit to make the changes, good changes, not go into the same patterns like the Depression that we had long ago. We have similar conditions right now, but we do not have to have a similar outcome. What can you say about that?
Do you want to go, David, or do you want me to?
I could have a wee go. I think what Greg was referring to there, I think that part of the book was about just pointing out that nature runs cyclically. So virtually everything is cyclic. You look at the spinning of the Earth and its axis. That creates night and day because the sun moves across the sky. That actually drives physiological processes. I mean, one thing that we didn't put in the book is that it drives the activation on off of a gene in the brain, incidentally called the clock gene. And that drives some of our physiological processes like sleeping and waking by altering hormone levels in the body. So what happens is, on a purely physiological level, nature's cycles are wired into the body. But on another level, and what you refer to, the El Nino phenomena, on another level, what you have is cycles also create conditions. They impact the environment. I mean, think about like the way that the Earth goes around the sun. That's a cycle that everyone's aware of. So the environment changes over a period of 365 days a year as we drive from, you know, spring, summer, autumn, winter. So climate changes and all these kind of things. With El Nino, which is also a cyclic pattern, what you end up is conditions where war is more likely, because the knock-on effect is that you get drought in particular places in the world. So as well as having cycles driving biology, you have cycles impacting the environment, which again feeds back into human life. So in a real sense, we can't disentangle our own lives, our choices from what happens in the world. Basically, when crises happen, the opportunity there, as you pointed out, is for us to change. And I think empathy, I believe, is a currency. We talk about financials, money being the currency of the world, but actually I would say in the next cycle, like Harry talked about the quantum age, you know, and all wrapped up in that, part of that is a depth of interconnectedness that we recognize. And you look at the internet, and you look at even social networks and, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and also the Choice Point Movement social network. And what we're seeing is a much more interconnected world. Now, when the world becomes more interconnected, we need to become better at communication. Because
and cooperation, communication and cooperation, because people are not going to accept anything less. And I love that you just said empathy is the currency.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be the way for change. Because, you know, just like there are cycles in nature, people go through these cycles, financial abundance and scarcity, and meeting the same kinds of people and with the same kinds of behavior and the same kinds of end results, which are not always so fulfilling to them. It even says in the book that you might marry the same person three times, so to speak, and have the same conditions and the same problems. So the point being, we need to change and do something different. And that will make the difference between the patterns of success or failure, whether it's in relationships, career, or these world changes that we need.
Absolutely.
Right? Is that the conclusion? A change in the way anyone thinks about themselves is maybe the way to change how they respond to a crisis and affect the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're being led there, directed there, guided there by the forces of nature and by the events in our personal lives, too. Now, David, we talked about a choice, the movement, but which is a creation of many people to move forward for the evolution of each other and the planet for a better result than we have been seeing in. So I want to thank you, Harry and David, for a beginning look at the Choice Point movement. And I welcome all listeners to tune in to part two of Aligning Your Purpose for Personal and World Change. For more information on the book and film, Choice Point, go to choicepointmovement.com. In summarizing today's show on Healing from Within, Harry Massey, David Hamilton, and I have just begun to scratch the surface for understanding the cyclic patterns or fractals of nature that entangle us, influencing our choices, free will, and destiny, as we grapple with the universal source of information and its many possibilities and opportunities for a better personal reality and world condition. A greater connection to cycles and understanding and predicting patterns is crucial for making personal choices that will resolve many of the social issues now challenging our changing world community. The consequences of our actions in either aligning to ideas, people, and places that serve our individual growth, happiness, health, and success with the collective and emerging new communities are our choice, and they are the emerging choice points or opportunities available at this time in history. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear masters and leaders in the field of science, spirituality, holistic health, and the arts for greater awareness of the possibilities for your own personal evolution and a new and improved world condition.